Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And each week, we focus on different growth strategies for mid-sized companies. Our guests and our listeners and the host are all CEOs of companies between the $20 and $200 million mark, and most of us have $1 billion in mind. So I welcome all of you. And today I'm going to leverage something that we just heard yesterday, and some of you are downloading this in weeks to come, but I like some of the shows being as timely as I can. The majority of the people in the United States last night, and frankly in a lot of other countries, listened to the final State of the Union address from George Bush as president, and the R word came up. You know, it looks like the economy is going into a recession. And an awful lot of recessions and the economic ups and downs are psychological. And I've been in business for 36 years, and I've been a coach for companies that are looking for rapid growth. And so my businesses, you know, I've spawned six of them, and they've gone international, and I've had as many as 123 full-time consultants and, you know, spun off other things like venture capital firms. So I've had the journey myself and then helped the companies that are all craving the Inc. 500. Okay. So I've been through, three, four, five recessions, depending on how you define them. So, you know, there's a pattern to what I find happens when people start saying the R word. And I want you to think about some words that start with R-E. It's not just recession. There are some attitudes and some things you need to do when the economy looks a little shaky that help your company survive and thrive during a recession. One of the things I noticed is that true wealth, I mean real wealth, is won during recessions. There's an awful lot of people that, in some ways, they were looking for an excuse to coast. They were looking for, they're tired from all the intensity of the last few years. And in a lot of ways, there's employees and there are bosses that are looking for the recession to give them an excuse to whine, and salespeople, and to whine, not go after accounts, to not work, to have a reason for why that, you know, something's not working, and it's an attitude. And one of the R words, R-E words I want you to think about is if you refuse to look at it and you're denying that this is something that's being talked about in the media, you won't see some of the patterns in your business. You won't understand why you took a downturn when you had a fabulous product and you had wonderful people and you had good customers. If you don't look at it, you can end up, in a free fall and never know what happened to you. So one of the first words I want you to think about is it is a time to renew. It is a time to revisit. It is a time to rekindle. And one of the biggest words I want you to think about is it is a time to reassure. Employees are warriors. They can make up problems in their heads that don't exist. And when they hear the news about another company, they start to wonder, the immediate child reaction to anything is, how is this going to affect me? What's in it for me? So you hear about changes in regulations, you hear changes in taxes, you hear changes in the real estate rates, all that kind of stuff. And the immediate knee-jerk response is, what's in it for me? What's going to happen to me? So if you deny, as an owner of a business, that your business is affected by it, and you don't say something to reassure your customers and reassure your employees that you are resilient, hear the rewards? Reassure, revisit, and rekindle the interest in, because your business needs to be resilient. And you're going to be saying things that you don't think you have to reassure people about, like that you're still reinvesting in the business, that, of course, you're still going to hang in there. I've seen people get asked, are you still in business? And they're shocked because they're working so hard and they're hanging in there. But if your marketing isn't absolutely consistent, persistent, insistent, during a recession, people actually think the companies have gone away. So this is a time to reinvest in your business. Now, you got to be careful. I understand that. But there is a hesitance. There is a reluctance to believe. Another R word. There is a reluctance to believe that you are resilient. You got to prove it and prove it again to your customers and your employees and yourself. So if you have not had a strategic planning session, you don't have to go into like analysis paralysis. That's not what I'm talking about. But you might want to rediscover what your core competence, what your sweet spot, what your elevator speech is, what your competitive advantage is. You know what I'm saying? Go back and make sure you're really centered, because one of the things that happens during uncertain periods and fast changes in technology and, you know, when you're really, really busy, people get all caught up in the doing and in the details. And you can become everything to everybody and kind of lose what really differentiates your company from other people. So go back and revisit that. Rediscover what is so fabulous about your business. Because if you don't feel that your business is fabulous and your employees aren't really stoked that you have something that other people don't, well, you know, instead of avoiding that and ignoring that and refusing to look at the data, wouldn't it be cool for you to make sure that you redefine that sweet spot, redefine the competitive advantage, make sure that you can repeat it over and over and over again, make sure that you reaffirm it so that when everybody feels uneasy, they know what to say to themselves every day. Now, I've mentioned, you know, Mastering the Rockefeller Habits as a methodology in Vern Harnish's book a number of times on the program. I just think it works for a lot of people. It's an easy read, and it's got some techniques that work. And one of the techniques in that is to always know what your top five priorities are. And in fact, they boil it down to, what's the top one for this quarter? I mean, hello? What is the main thing that you're trying to accomplish? Are you trying to re-win some of your big accounts? Hear the words I'm using? Re-win, even you can't take them for granted. Not during an uncertain period. People don't want to be taken for granted. You've got to re-win it. It will go away, especially if your clients are the type of people that aren't reaffirming their competitive advantage, reassuring their employees and their customers. Their business might be shakier than yours, so you got to re-win the account. None of us can coast. That's one of the things that happens. You cannot coast. Now, in that kind of session where you pull your executives together and you say, okay, let's just make sure we know the top five and we know the top one. You might be surprised that you don't, because they have this long to-do list of things they've got to do. But you get recharged. Hear my phrases? You rekindle interest when you really articulate what are the top five and the top one. Okay, so let me recommend what the top one might be, and that is renewing or rewinning your major accounts. You hear it? This is the first quarter. There's all this talk of recession. People are worried about their real estate deals. You got to go back and re-win your accounts. That could be your number one thing for the first quarter of 2008. Now, how do you do that? That means not that just the salespeople, but the service people, making sure that that might be the time for you to do market research, a customer satisfaction survey. Find out for sure. In fact, during a recession, people are much more articulate about what they don't like. They're uneasy, they're worried, they're fussing about their budgets, and they might tell you more directly what they need. Now, it's hard to hear sometimes, especially if you're a perfectionist, and if they say to you you're not as accessible as you need to be, or they had expected something different from your report or from your product or your delivery date or your price, it's hard sometimes to swallow. But now you know. Now you know what you truly need to work on, and you can renew your commitment to your customers. Now, the interesting thing, I didn't say restart. You're not trying to sell from scratch. And in fact, if you don't do some of the things to re-win the accounts and reassure people, you end up in restart mode, and that's why I'm talking like this. There's some RE words that really work and some that get you into trouble. Now, let's hear some of them. You hear what I'm saying is I want you to reignite some interest in the business. Rediscover what your competitive advantage is. Renew some of the conversations about the sweet spot. Return to your core competence. Redefine what the key things are if it's drifted on you. Reestablish relationships with your key accounts. Reintroduce some of the major projects and products that you had that some of your customers never knew that you did. Rekindle an interest in the business. Redistribute some of the resources and the people if you need to, but have it aimed toward the things that are going to make the biggest difference. Reaffirm that you are committed to staying in the business. rebuild relationships with some of your key accounts, recharge your interest, and if you're getting all depressed, you know, go get exercise and get the vacations. Just because there's the changes in the economy doesn't mean that you get depressed. You don't let yourself slip. Recombine the different people that you've met in the past. There's some association contacts and strategic alliances that maybe need to be refit, recombined, done a different way. So what? Reconvene the advisory board or the people that you had as mentors that you let go in the past. Reconvene them and ask them their advice again. Reexamine your strategic plan and kind of make sure that everybody knows the top five and the top one. Reinvigorate yourself, because it all comes from the top. If you look like you're a gloomy Gus and you're fretting or you're being secretive and the doors are starting to close, people will imagine the worst. Revisit what the plan is for 2008 so that you're practical and, you know, you have to make tough decisions. Rewin accounts. Reassure the people that work for you and the clients that depend on you. Recruit. You'd be surprised. I'm going to go into more details in the show, but recruit. There are people who are convinced that their boss is going to quit and not promote them, not stay in business, not win accounts, and they're starting to write their resumes just because. You might pick up some really good talent because you're recommitting to your business. So this is a great time for you to say, we are always looking. We are on the move. We're recruiting right now. You're always recruiting. You're trying to retain your top talent, and so if you don't reassure them, they're writing their resumes. I think there's a rejoicing in still being in business. I've been in business 36 years and love what I do. Are you still rejoicing about the business you're in? There's a respect that we need to convey to ourselves and our customers and to our employees. I guess you can hear that I'm saying to you, it's time to revive some of the energy. Now, after the break, I'm going to list some words that are related to I want you to resist. and I know you're having fun with this, but it might make you think about what your attitude is. That's a lot of what recessions are about. After the break, we'll be right back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
Talk about his money. Call us toll free 866-472-5790 and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I'm talking about the psychology of recessions and how do you make sure that your business is resilient and you don't fall backwards, you don't regress. So this next segment I'm going to talk about some of the words that start with R-E that are attitudinal and send you backwards. I've seen some people, one of the things that happens is that they refuse to look at the data. They refuse to have a session that talks about, you know, the economy. No, that's not, you know, that's not us, that's everybody else, and we're not going to have a discussion about the recession in our strategic planning. Why not? If you can look at the economy and you can look at the pattern, ask yourself how much it's affecting your customers, because even if you think you're resilient and your finance looks good and your cash flow looks good, guess what? Be honest about the effects on your customers, because that's how it's going to affect, it's going to come to you at some point, even if you're one of those, you know, it comes to you later. There's certain industries that are affected early. Some real estate people, some, frankly, trainers, people like that, they can tell when a recession's going to happen because they're the first budgets cut. Some research departments are the first ones that are cut, which is kind of amazing to me because you actually need to have more specific data to make good decisions during recessions. I do not understand R&D budget stopping in recessions. It's so backwards. It's regressive. So, you know, if you refuse to look at the data, if you refuse to look at the patterns, it won't even matter what the data is. That refusal is a mindset that stops the company. That's what makes your comptrollers crazy. That's what makes your department heads not trust you. That's the thing that is the death knell. So it's not the data, it's the refusal. Another thing I've seen happen during recessions is that some people, they start to revisit and they slow down their decision making and they get indecisive. And actually look at your decision-making process. What are the facts that you need? What are the major trends that you see? What's a reasonable deadline that you normally would use? And stick to it. Because revisiting your decisions and waffling, it frustrates people when politicians do it, and it's worse when your boss does it because you're on a roll, you're working on a project, and then it changes. Now, that's so frustrating. It's one thing if your customers and your market changed and you have to shift gear to be responsive to what they need. That's different. But if inside, on a day-to-day basis, you're indecisive and you waffle, that it makes people crazy. And what happens, not only are they crazy, they never get any traction. They never get any momentum. They can't be as productive. And you made it happen yourself. So be careful to not be revisiting your decisions. It's actually less expensive to make a mistake than it is to not get any kind of traction on what you've decided to do. So when you commit, do it. Now, you commit to a direct mail, do it. If you commit to a marketing campaign, a public seminar, do it. Don't have to do it. If you commit to a new product launch, do it. Don't have to do it because you won't get the money from it and you'll be fretting about the cost. You see it? Don't relive. I mean, I've seen some people when a recession happens, if they've been in business for a while, it's almost like a flashback, you know, like somebody in the 60s that did drugs. They have a flashback to the previous recession, and if you had a horrible time, maybe you ended up with deep debt or cash flow problems or you lost a big account, it's almost like you're reliving it. Well, no, you don't have to return to what it was like before. You don't have to repeat past mistakes. In fact, you can, you know, think about what happened to you the last time and what did you learn so that you don't repeat. But I don't want you to go back and relive. It's like when some people have a bad childhood and something happens and it triggers their memory and you're reliving what happened when you were 8 years old. It doesn't help you right now. What did you learn from when you were eight? What did you learn from the last recession? Don't relive the last one and don't repeat the problems. But this recession is going to have a very different feel than the other one. I've been through four or five of them, and each one's had its own feel. It's had its own rules. It's had its own duration. And different things have worked to make sure that we were resilient through each one. So, you know, resist the temptation to relive as though, you know, you're reminiscing about bad times. It kind of sucks. Nobody wants to hear it anyway. Don't resign yourself to the fact that a recession is going to be a long one and it's going to affect your business. When you have that resignation kind of language or thought process, you're going to react that way. You're going to view opportunities in a different frame. In fact, you're not even going to see some of the opportunities, because if your mindset says it's a recession and let's just resign ourselves to the fact that it is, resign ourselves that, you know, we're not going to be able to get big accounts, we're not going to be able to afford X, Y, and Z, we're not going to be able to, you know, expand. Why? If the overwhelming majority of the people were looking for an excuse anyway and were coasting, and this is how they can, you know, rest a little bit, I think the winners are the ones that don't rest during recessions. They're the ones that you actually can cherry-pick accounts. You can actually go after financing because banks are going to be looking for people that are still on the move. You can recruit from people who are in slow motion. You can capture, you know, accounts. You can recombine things. There is so much opportunity during a recession unless you resign yourself to the fact that you must coast. And I actually think it's a self-fulfilling kind of prophecy. It's just like teachers when they've been told a certain number of kids in the class are low performers and they'll never learn, and they believe it, and presto change-o, guess what? Lo and behold, the self-fulfilling thing happens and those kids don't learn. You've seen those studies? Well, why would you tell yourself that your company is going to be in this bad recession and it's going to hurt you the worst and you can't make money, and as soon as you talk like that, guess what? You can't. All right, another process I've seen people do is they actually get into almost a repelling behavior to their customers when their cash flow gets tight, when it looks like their budgets are awful, and if they haven't really dealt with it, it's called projection. And so if you haven't really gotten your act together about how your business is doing, your customer service people, your salespeople, and yourself, your executives, can inadvertently repel customers. You can repel prospects because you can sound grouchy. I'll give you an example, and she's not going to like this, but I have a very sweet stepmother, and she was an incredibly powerful principal of a high-intensity school district in Pennsylvania. She was fabulous. She could handle something, a much more complicated job than anybody. Just incredible. And she's retired now. And, you know, so some of the things that she's dealing with the new technologies and the computers, they frustrate her. And so when I get a call from her or I call her, I can tell when she's been frustrated by the computer because she sounds grouchy. And so I have to ask her, you know, you okay? Because if it's just the computer getting her fussy again, then we can laugh about it and we can, you know, cajole and talk about not being techies and we just lighten up. But if it's really something else, then we should talk about it. It's good to ask about it because she doesn't even realize that she's sounding cranky. She doesn't want to, but that's what happens. Well, she's not alone. That's just one example of what happens. If you're dealing with something that's got you grouchy, it can come across on the phone. It can come across in the sales appointment. It comes across in meetings. And you can inadvertently repel your customers, repel your potential partners, repel opportunities if you haven't addressed problems. So go back to, if you're not having strategy sessions, to renew the spirit, reaffirm the business, reassure your employees, you could inadvertently be creating a situation where the crankiness, the worry, the fussing about the problems and the internal indecision, it comes out in people's attitudes on the phone. So if you haven't done some secret shopper, or if you haven't made some calls to your business to find out how your employees are sounding, or done some tests to listen to the phone conversations to check, you've got to do a barometric check on attitude to see if people are okay. It's not just how are they doing with customers. It's are they okay? Are your employees worried? And if they're worried, even if you're thinking everything's fine, if you're worried, if your employees are worried, it creates a problem. It costs you money. So it doesn't matter if you're okay. Are they okay? You're going to bleed money by the worry of your employees. So one of the things to make sure that your company isn't inadvertently doing is repelling the public by projecting their fears. If you don't address the fears, it all goes back to, are you honestly addressing the fears? Are you honestly addressing what your company is doing so you don't inadvertently repel the public? Another R-E word that I find people do is they recoil. Okay, now what does that mean? If there's an overreaction. You know, sometimes people have an exaggerated response. You lose one account. It's the recession. Or, you know, I was investing in something and the bank, you know, raised the rate. Let's recoil. Let's not go into debt. Or I've seen people recoil from, you know, a new initiative. You get that word? I mean, they just wind all back. And it's exaggerated. Sometimes it's like a pendulum swinging and they slam it against the wall. Watch your responses to make sure that it's not exaggerated, because you may need to take one step back, not 12. And if you are doing it out of reaction to something you've read, you know, externally, seen what the banks are doing, or seen what the, you know, your customers doing, or seen what your real estate is, or seen the taxes, something sets you off and you recoil. So one of the techniques you can do is, before it happens, ask your controller, ask your accountants to work with you on some metrics, some ratios that give you early warning signs. But you don't want to imagine trends when it's not there. It could have been a single event. It could have been something you could respond to in a small way. You don't have to recoil. Okay, so you can hear some of the things to resist. You don't want to revisit, and you don't want to, you know, relive. You don't want to rebuke and regress. You don't want to repeat past mistakes. You don't want to recoil because it's overreaction. You don't want to refuse to look at the data. You don't want to regress into being adolescent and negative. You don't want to reject the data. You need to face it. You don't want to repeat past experiences. You don't want to inadvertently repel the customers by not facing your fears. You don't want to be resigned to the recession because it's just not so. You don't want to rest on your laurels. All right, now we're going to go back to a couple of other things. I want to give you some specific examples, suggestions. Isn't it interesting how these words help, though? This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Have you ever had a bad day and wish someone could come along and change it at the flip of a switch? Do you dream of living the life of wealth, great relationships, and the perfect job, but don't know where to start? Then tune into The Winner's Attitude with corporate trainers, motivators, authors, and hosts Jeff and Val G. No difficult strategies or complicated keys. Jeff and Val present a powerful and effective technology to switch your operating system to create the most amazing life. It has been said that winners have simply formed the habit of doing amazing things. Winners know how to activate that switch, and so can you. The Winner's Attitude with Jeff and Val G. Broadcast each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. The Winner's Attitude. Switch me on.
Hey, Dad.
What?
Can't get the ketchup bottle open. Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and today we're talking about recession and the RE words that will help you get through it. I'm going to repeat some of them. You're really trying to do things like reignite the interest in your business, be resilient, rejuvenate, rediscover the core competencies, return to some of the things that are the best about your business, redefine if you have to, even reestablish relationships, reintroduce the previous products and services if you need to, rekindle some interest, redistribute the resources, but don't go nuts. But it's mostly about reassuring people, reaffirming that you are going to stay in business. And that leads to things like recruiting and retaining and respecting and reviving. You get it? There's some real positive RE words. All right, now let's get one that I've seen people that they need to avoid. Some industries, what happens is they get into restarts, and that's not growth. And I'll give you an example. There's some industries where, like electrical wholesaling and the plumbers, and I've noticed it in mortgage and equipment lease kind of companies, there is this premise that you have to have industry experience to be, you know, able to work there. And they have a hard time when they're recruiting because of this mindset of, well, we can't just hire an operations manager that has experience with something else. If they don't really know our industry, they can't do it. Now, you can tell in my voice I kind of question that because I've seen some really good controllers and operations and salespeople that they can learn the product, but if they don't understand sales or they didn't understand systems or they didn't understand operations and productivity and don't have the right attitude and culture and such, that's when they can't work. I mean, that's what matters. You can learn product. You know, if somebody has the aptitude to learn, they don't have to have all that industry experience to help you. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that recessions, I find that if you're in one of those industries where it's almost incestuous, you know, there's this churning of people hiring from each other. When a recession hits, the gossip columns start. People are actually having, you know, emails and calls and conference calls about which businesses have gone under and who's hiring from home and who's laying off. And it's almost they go back to fraternity sorority type behavior, spending a lot of time trying to get the latest skinny on who's doing what instead of working, instead of developing the business. And it's not complete information. It's just rumor mill. And there's a lot of time and energy spent on, you know, who's actually on the move and who's going backwards. And you'd swear you were right in the middle of something in high school. And what happens to a lot of the salespeople is there's restarts of their business, you know, because somebody went into business because they were from sales. And so they go somewhere else and they start again. So I want you to resist restarts. You don't have to start again. And if you're in one of those industries where the gossip, you know, gossiping is really prevalent and they churn and hire each other, one of the issues that you have is that you're going to be thinking or it's going to feel like you live in a glass house. So if you created a new product, people are going to see it quickly. Now, how do you make that good news? If it's in a really good economy, sometimes that's not good news because other people have the money and they start to copy you. And, you know, somebody will steal your employees and such like that. But you can actually leverage a recession by being the one that's committed to, I'm on the move, I'm recruiting, I'm going to expand, and other people who are whining may actually come to you and say, I've noticed that you're doing X, Y, and Z. I want to talk to you. You may actually get some good deals in strategic alliances, joint ventures. I've actually seen roll-ups happen when you just decide that you're the CEO that's going to stick around. And you can be a magnet. So, again, early in a recession, make a decision that you're going to be the one that wins. And get the word out because other people are looking for an excuse. There's a lot of baby boomers that are looking at an excuse to retire. And I think an acquisition is a company in search of a CEO. So you could actually pick up some really good deals on some businesses that could become departments of yours. They could be branch offices of yours. They could be a new product of yours. It could be new technology, because there is the churning, there is the excitement, there is the rumor mill, and the energy. You can leverage kind of viral marketing within your industry. If you make it clear, you're going to last. So it also is going to be noticed by the bankers. That that because if they have a target market, or they've noticed, if they, let's say they have somebody who specializes in distributors or specializes in the service companies or whatever you are, they notice. They will notice who's on the move and who's whining and who's not telling them things and hiding. If you're the one that's visible and you intentionally go to your banker and say, okay, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to tell you exactly where we're at. I want to invite you in to listen to our strategic plan. You know, let you know, have you tell us if you hear anything that's missing. You know, give us some advice. You'd be surprised. Now, nothing is, you know, done until you actually do it. I know that sounds funny, but it's just talk. When you are negotiating with people, when you're making presentations, when you're saying to them, I am thinking of doing this. I call it the Sony method, because the Sony Corporation has really perfected this. When they were thinking of doing high-resolution television, they did a press conference before they were even invested in it. And it was like a magnet. It attracted the researchers that wanted to work on the product, but, you know, with people with all the, you know, the expertise, saved them on all kinds of recruitment costs. You and I, who wanted to have a high-definition television, said, the minute you have one, I want one. So it saved them on marketing and sales. And the distributors that said, I want to be the store that sells your product when you have it done, it saved them on all that work to get a distribution network. Okay, what are you thinking of doing? And in a recession, there is a lot of people that are just thinking of stopping. They're thinking of going away. They're thinking of hiding. They're thinking of being very private. They don't want anybody to know how bad their cash flow is, or they lost an account, and that they're miserable and they're indecisive, and they get very secretive. If you're the one that is in a glass house and you're exposing what you're doing, you can even make a mistake and it still works, because you're on a roll and there's a magnetic power to somebody that is committing to doing something, taking some chances. I have seen competitors actually call and say, George, I've noticed what you're doing, and it looks like you're getting into trouble here. Let me give you a warning. Honest to God, you'd be surprised how many people are rooting for you to succeed. And in a recession, one of the phrases I've used in a number of speeches, it ends up being, you know, people quote it and say, like Aldana Ambler said, I want you to take other people with you who want you to succeed. So if you haven't been meeting with private investors, if you haven't been talking with venture capitalists, if you haven't been talking to the banks, if you haven't been looking for baby boomers that are ready to sell, boy, a recession is a great time to do it. So now what this means is, think about it. What's your role as president or CEO? If you are lost in the day-to-day minutiae, if you have not delegated some of the, you know, key things like, you know, selling to key accounts and managing the big marketing, this is a great time for you to reaffirm your belief in your management team, your executive team. Don't be so lost in the minutiae that you miss your cue, because this is a time for you to do media. This is a time for you to be having those executive-to-executive, eyeball-to-eyeball. I call them six iced teas. You sit over, you know, six iced teas with somebody and negotiate billion-dollar deals. If it takes more than six meetings, you know, it's not going to work, in my experience. Okay, is your time open so that you can make opportunities and get the word out that your company's on the move and you're a CEO that's going to stick around and listen to what other people are looking for? Are you going to make yourself a magnet? Okay, so it's not a restart, but it is a, you hear it? You can commit yourself marketing-wise. Are you the CEO that is visible? Are you the CEO that's initiating those meetings? And you don't. And after a while, you're not going to have to initiate those meetings. People come to you. Interesting. So the word that I'm asking you not to do is retreat. Can you hear it? Now, let's do a play on words. You can have an executive retreat for a weekend, and you make sure that everybody is, you know, on the same page, and that they, if you're going to make this kind of commitment, this public commitment that we're going to grow, and here's how, and what we're going to say. Everybody needs to hear it. So whoever's worried, let's make this up. Let's say the sales exec is worried about this. And sometimes that happens. The people that need to be the most positive often are the most vocal in those retreats. And they say, you know, this sounds all wonderful, but who are you kidding? I'm going to have a hard time closing, blah, blah, blah. Okay, how can you, you know, reassure the sales exec? What do they need? Do they need better materials? Do they need permission to hire some really good salespeople? Do they need permission to negotiate some terms, not drop the price and get all commodity-oriented, but do they need some kind of backing from you? Because they're going to feel that the weight of the world is on their shoulders. Sales execs often, they end up having high blood pressure, and they get sick, and it really makes them nuts because they really feel like the whole weight of the company is on their shoulders during a recession. You got to put yourself in their position and think about the pressure. What type of support do they need so that they know everybody's in it for the long haul and they're going to get the support they need? What does the CFO need to sound like for the sales exec to not fret? Nothing worse than a sales exec that's fretting. You want them excited and committed and recharged. Sometimes it's worth spending the money on the gym club memberships and make sure that people are getting the exercise, that the oxygen is going through their heads, and they have that recharged energy, because what we're talking about, what I'm saying of recommitting to the business and being like you're in a glass house and being a magnet to attract meetings, it's exhilarating, but it's also scary. And people are going to be a little bit out of their comfort zone. Although I got to tell you, it's a whole lot more comfortable to be on a roll and know that your business is doing something and keeping going than being secretive and you're worried and you don't know what's going to happen and they're laying people off and you don't know if they're going to sell. Think about the energy and the soul. Think about the ideas that come when you're on a roll. So when you have a retreat, so that your company doesn't retreat in its behavior, you have that weekend retreat with your executives and make sure that you've talked through what they're worried about. Don't gloss over it because they have legitimate concerns. Somebody who's worried, that means they have a passion for their job. That means they care. That means they want it to work. That is incredibly positive energy. So instead of glossing it over and saying, there's nothing to worry about. What are you fussing about? No. Explore it a little bit. Go a little bit deeper and find out what would it take. Now, sometimes somebody is unreasonable. I've seen some folks, you know, like the sales execs wanting, you know, a huge budget, and they want to be able to pay top dollar for really good people, and they want to negotiate price and end up having squeaky margins. Listen to if they're recoiling and if they're, you know, overreacting. But with some moderate investment, you can get a sales exec pretty excited that they're not going to be stranded and blamed if things don't go right. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back and talk about how do you be resilient during a recession.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
Small business owners, do you want answers to your most pressing financial concerns? Do you want to stop stressing about money and finally understand how to create wealth? Let Elizabeth Potts Weinstein and the Wealth Spa Radio Show answer your most pressing financial and legal questions about your small business and help you achieve business success and the lifestyle of your dreams easier and faster than you could imagine. The Wealth Spa Radio Show broadcasts live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Radio Network.
The Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week we rotate through different growth strategies for mid-market companies, and today I'm talking about how do you be resilient during a recession. And we've talked about some of the RE words, you know, like rekindle and recruit and retain that you need to look at during a recession. And I've also mentioned things like you do have to make sure that you don't get into revisiting and repelling and recoiling and reducing and resigning yourself. There's some RE words that you don't want to get into. So one of the things I want you to do when you're in a recession is revisit some of your growth strategies. Because one of the things that happens is that there is a rut that some companies get in a lot of industries. There's some classic growth strategies that are, you know, used, especially in those industries where they churn and they hire each other and they start to gossip and everybody knows what the other one, at least they think they know what their competition's doing. And what happens in those industries is that during really good times, folks drift into trying to be everything to everybody. And the competitive advantage, the real differentiation, the real specialization disappears. So one of the things I'd like you to do during a recession is revisit the list of growth strategies, because there are some of them that might not have been possible when you were so busy and you know, had accounts coming in. And the dynamic of it not being a recession means that people weren't looking to you to be their solution. Okay, I know that sounds funny. They want to hire you for, you know, to have you help them. But your competitors weren't looking to you to be the solution. But in a recession, they are. So, long-winded way. Let me give you a list so you know what I'm talking about. Of the following, which ones of these growth strategies have you not even looked at? Maybe you haven't looked at diversification. You've only been looking at specialization within an industry. Is it time for you to create like a second division or a subsidiary? Something you've been thinking about for a long time. I mean, when I got into venture capital, it was definitely diversification. It's totally different from a management consulting strategic planning business. You know, there's two pieces now. We got into the intermediary role, so when somebody's looking for money, that we screen the accounts and help them with the business plans and find them the money. And then I'm also, you know, the screen for a 13-person investment pool. You know, it's the private investors, even first Mondays of every month, they know I'm going through their various proposals that are in front of them. We rank order them, and the top two are the ones we talk about. And, you know, so our investors are investing in service companies and mid-market, et cetera. Well, I wasn't going to do that 36 years ago. That developed out of the business. So, and it was in a recession when we were looking to create different kinds of money because service businesses need non-asset-based lending. So, you know, we couldn't find the kind of money that our clients needed, so we created an entity that helped them. All right, have you been so focused on specialization that you're not diversifying? And a recession could be the leverage you need to get into that new division, that subsidiary, that second company. Have you ever even considered licensing or franchising? Some companies, you know, they have a methodology. You have an approach, a proprietary approach, and it makes it's different than your competitors. You're good at training. You do have people that, you know, come to you and see you as a leader. You're good at marketing. Okay, now think about it. Those kind of things are the criteria for at least considering being a franchise. You got a methodology that someone could teach, be taught. You have some profitability that it generates. It's different from what other people do process-wise. You're good at marketing and you can attract people. Come on, at least consider franchising. Because, you know, think about it. Somebody else pays you to do it your way. Have you even considered geographic expansion? And I mean real geographic expansion with the world being as flat as it is. Sometimes during a recession is the very, very, very best time for you to look global and consider some countries that you might not have thought of before. Have you looked at, instead of just strategic alliances, fuzzy agreements where, you know, you might be working with each other and you have maybe a preferred vendor status. Okay, I get that. But is it time for you to look at true joint ventures where a couple of companies come together, they've got a structured legal deal, and they're doing something that they couldn't have done without each other? You considering looking at acquisitions and roll-ups and mergers? Those can be done more effectively during a recession than not. You get it? So this is also a time for you to get an infusion of capital, believe it or not. You're nervous about the bank money, but wait a minute. Is it time for an ESOP for your employees to be buying the business? I went through that over a seven-year period of time, and I'm so glad I did. Is it time for equity deals? Is it time for venture capitalists? Why not? You can do the application. You can talk with people, and if the deal isn't sweet enough, you don't do it. But are you going to be a magnet for money and people? You get it? So revisit your growth strategies during a recession so that because there are some things that other people might fund if you're aggressive. If you're just doing the same thing, the same way, the same tired way, don't be surprised if refinancing is something that you're not going to want to do. Now, I want to get some contact information because I'd love to have some questions and some examples of what you're living through, the reluctance that people are having. Here are the RE words. Don't be reluctant to actually talk about the dynamics of the recession for your business. I can be reached. If you know my name, it's easy to get me. It's Aldonna, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, AMBLER.com. And for those of you who are dealing directly with me, the toll-free number is 1-888-ALDONNA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A. I had too many businesses and too many phone numbers, and so those are the numbers. And I'd like to hear your comments about what are you worried about with the recession? What kinds of dynamics are you facing? How much are your customers whining? Are you getting caught up in the worry? What are you trying that's turning it around? I'd like some tangible examples, current examples of what you're doing that's working. We need to share with each other so it's not the stuff that we're talking about in the back of the room behind closed doors with employees wondering what you're talking about. Time to actually just talk about it openly and say, we're not going to let the recession get us. One of the things I've noticed with one of my clients, it's a current situation. They were on a roll with a strategic alliance with a big corporation. They were representing their major product. And it was truly time for it to become a joint venture commitment. And the big company is the one that got nervous and got, you know, fretting about the economy and saying, I don't know if this is going to work. And the much smaller company, I mean, we're talking about, you know, billions versus, you know, 10 million. It was the $10 million company that had to do the presentation to walk them through the large company's finances and demonstrate the sales and reassure them about how much money could be made for both sides and made it happen. Sometimes you're going to have to reassure people that should know better, that have more resources than you. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of gratitude. Be careful when you do what I'm talking about because if you look like you're now reaffirming people and acting like you appreciate it and you haven't been for a while, there may be a reaction. So this needs to flow from what you've been doing. So it's not so dramatic. So take things in small bites. Just have it be, take a deep breath and just keep going. Nothing has to be over dramatic and overdone because it's not credible when it's done that way. This is something that is incremental from what you've been doing. So as I sign up today, my wish to you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldonna Ambler, signing out. We'll be right back.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.